This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Just keep it safe with me. Anything you say will always stay with me. No matter what it is, it will make me leave.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker. Soon to be up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Frankie Corrado looking very sharp.
Ridiculously sharp. Can we just say ridiculously sharp?
I had a dilemma today, okay? It's my first time doing Overdrive with you. I did it with Andy and Noodles, but that was a late notice situation. Right. And I said, I can't come in underdressed. I'm a rookie. I just started out, so I'm just going to play it a little overdressed and see how it goes.
No, you're looking good. You got Gord Miller in here, and Gord, you're one of the longest-standing employees at TSN. You look comfortable. You look good. You look sharp.
It looks like a veteran, doesn't
he? I can tell I'm transitioning towards where you are because I got the golf shirt on, too.
The sad thing is you're becoming me.
Yes.
That's not a good thing.
No, I can see it.
I'm like a furniture here.
Right. Everyone knows Gord. You've been here forever. I've been here for about 11 years now, so I'm transitioning into just kind of a part of the furniture, like you said.
But you know what's funny?
One of the guys.
So here's the thing. Like, by the way, Frankie, if you're going to show up like this every time, I'm not coming in.
Yeah, it's but, phenomenal look.
A little hair gel.
But it's funny. I've been here 32 years, right? I think I'm third or fourth on the seniority list of commentators. Vic Router's been here longer than me.
Right.
Gino's been here longer than me. Rod Smith's been here longer than me.
There's some legends on that
That's
roster,
wild.
Man.
Like, those guys have all been here. I'm trying to think of anyone else, like, on the air.
Yeah.
And you're talking play-by-play, too. Like, Vic and Rod are calling play-by-play.
Yeah.
Gino isn't necessarily doing play-by-play, but...
Yeah. Like, it's amazing how...
Pretty long-standing.
32 years, you can't crack the top three.
No, right? That's like you're at the kids' table if you go out to dinner with those guys.
Sorry, I'll just sit over here.
Just go sit over there, Gordon. You can pick up the check.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's great to see you guys. Thank you for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
Good to be in studio. You know,
when's the last time you were here?
I've been here, you know, sporadically for the last few months. So I was here. Was I here last week? I can't remember.
Trade deadline.
You guys been in. I've been watching. You guys have been in.
Yeah, we've been in here like once or twice a week, maybe give or take. Like
if Owen Noodles are doing panel work, you guys are in.
Generally,
here.
That's the way it works. Like I'm relatively easy. Now, today is not one of those days because my wife, she works Mondays and Wednesdays. Now my oldest is out of school. And for whatever reason, we gave her somewhat of a say on what she's going to do with her summer. She's six and a half years old. So she will be in camps, like community camps. We're going away. There are different people that are going to help. But ultimately, there's going to be about 6 days over the course of the summer where she is going to be with me.
Okay.
So it's either, you know, my parents come help, her parents come help. Today was one of those days we could get help after 4 o'clock. So my dad is going to come and actually pick her up and take her across the street. They're going to go to a movie.
Oh. Nice.
Yes. Bill's going to be, he's probably
Bill's
outside
here?
Waiting right. He may be on the other side of
the legend.
The legend himself.
His dad. Frankie,
I've heard.
Legend himself. So I've been with my oldest, but she's literally here right now. Like, Gord, you walked in and you're like, who is this kid? That's my kid.
I actually thought
day
it was,
one of summer.
I thought it was Jamie's daughter. I thought it was Steph Appolito's here.
Right.
I thought that was Dylan. So I looked, hey, Dylan, how are you? I'm not Dylan.
Yeah.
I'll just
not
meet
Dylan.
Him.
Jump shot's
not going to tell
you
her name.
No.
Like, we got the basketball nets in here. Jump shot's looking good. Yeah. Is that comes from her father?
Probably not.
So here's what you're looking for. Here's what you look forward to. Okay. I've got a 17-year-old daughter.
Right.
The infamous Blair.
Yes.
Okay. So. We gave her a choice this summer. You can work, or if you want to take a summer school course, you can do that.
Good options.
So she said, I've decided to take a course on Greek and Roman civilization.
Okay.
Great. Good call. It's in Italy and Greece.
Literally on the ground.
Wait, what? Yeah.
You start thinking dollar signs at that point?
Yeah, it's not inexpensive.
Well, yeah.
Right.
I'm doing a calculation. As soon as that comes across, I'm starting to calculate things.
That's a lot of
calculating.
When
we were going up, we went to, like, the museum.
Right.
Like, if you want to study Roman civilization, you went to the museum and they showed you a pot.
Exactly.
Like, they showed you, like, some cracked pot.
Right.
Yeah.
I went to Scarborough when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Okay, we can go out to the zoo. Maybe we'll hit Etobicoke next week.
Real big.
Like, that was about it. Yeah, maybe we get, you know, north of the 401.
You want to know the Frankie Corrado summer special?
Yes.
$500 junior membership at a golf course. Drop you off in the morning. Pick you up on the way from work. You figure out the rest.
The best. I had the same thing for multiple years.
Go there and play 27 holes.
Go and do whatever you want. We'll be back at 6 o'clock. I don't care if you play, if you don't play.
Just don't get kicked out. out. Yeah. Just don't get kicked out. This is where you're going.
Drink some water. Here's $20 for lunch.
And it was the best.
It was. It was.
Some days you play like 54 if you're just flying. Obviously, no carts if you're a kid. It's like you're walking, you're carrying your own bag.
30 degrees, too.
Yeah.
Like it's a grind. Actually, it was good socially, too, because you meet people and you're like, I got to play if it's a 30-year-old, a 50-year-old. You got to figure it out.
Has your daughter gone to sleepover camp yet?
No, not yet. That's in the very near future, and I'm looking forward to it.
So what you do, when you go to that, and kids don't know this, so I'll share this with them. So you drop you go to the pickups, like, you know, you're at a mall somewhere or whatever, they go on the bus, and, you know, it's big hugs, and off they go to, you know, 3 weeks. And as soon as the bus turns the corner and goes over the horizon, the parents are like high-fiving, cracking up the cooler.
Yeah. Honey,
like,
start the car. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, I'm experiencing it now for the first time. Like, coming out of COVID, you're picking up on experiences that past generations have had forever and somewhat took for granted. Is now, again, she's through grade one going into grade two, and we'll be doing different camps and stuff, but too young to do an overnight. Too old to do like a daycare with her sister and stuff. It was just, she didn't want to do that. And we're like, okay. And now you realize, okay, when are we getting to Labor Day? Can we press fast forward here? Like, she's going to be home a lot. Kids are going to be home a lot. You're looking for things to do.
Does your dad listen to this show, by the way? Is there a chance she's hearing this right now?
She could be. As far as I know, she's still out on the couch. I don't think she'll be seeing him until we hit the first break.
I had no idea about overnight camp, by the way. Like, I was at the eye doctor one year, and he was telling me, like, the kids are going away for camp. I go, oh, is that like a daily thing? You drop them off? He goes, no, they stay there. I said, what's that, like a week? He goes, no. 7 weeks.
The whole summer.
I know.
My eyes popped out of my head.
That's,
I go,
crazy.
7 weeks. And then I go, like, so, like, you talk to them, you visit them. Because I come from Italian family. You guys got to understand. It's like, you go to Nonno and Nonna's house, you don't venture too far off, right? And he's like, no, they post pictures on Facebook.
Yeah, we'll check in.
What?
We'll write letters.
And the thing is, that's not really parenting. That's outsourcing.
That is outsourcing.
I think more than 3 weeks is outsourcing.
That seems aggressive. 7 weeks.
You have now contracted out the parenting for us.
That is very aggressive. I don't see myself ever getting to that point. But anyway, so that's, you know, we're day one. I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with it in terms of, you know, killing time more than anything else. You know, like, it's we drop my youngest off, and then we got until 4 o'clock where we got to go for lunch, and we got to go get ice cream, and we got to go to the park. It's all good. All good, because all the kids are into summer vacay mode.
I was walking. So when my daughter was little, I used to walk her down the street. They had a splash pad at the end of the street.
Oh, yeah.
We'd hang out there, you know, whatever. And this lady on my street said to me, Cordy, everything okay with you? Like, yeah, why? She says, well, I haven't seen you on TV lately, and I see you walking your daughter to the park every day. Like, did you lose your job? I said, no, I don't work in the summer. She honestly turned around and said, what kind of job is that?
I know. How dare you?
Stormed off.
How dare you? Scum. You're scum for that. Anyway, it's good to see you guys. It's great to have you guys in. There's a lot to get into.
Going on today.
Early in July, there always is, right? Because especially with NHL free agency being pushed back, like, today would have been a big day of revisiting what happened on Friday. Well, that's not the case, because July 13th, for those of you wondering when NHL free agency is happening, the draft is still coming up. Like, the draft is later this week. And there will be action. There's going to be action. The Leafs are going to be at the front of it. One scoop that came out courtesy of our buddy Pierre LeBrun, which is one I'm skeptical of. Not his reporting.
Okay, I was going to say.
Not his reporting, but skeptical of whether it is actually a possibility. Because Pierre is reporting that Marc-Andre Fleury is willing to listen to the Maple Leafs. And I guess, retrospectively, was willing to listen to them at the trade deadline, where everything I had heard publicly and privately was Marc-Andre Fleury had no interest of coming up here.
Right.
Pierre is suggesting that was not the case. And this is, again, where my radar starts to go off around this time of year. Alan Walsh is his agent. Any agent worth his salt is telling everyone that he's willing to go anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially with the Leafs, because everyone knows how hyper-focused they're going to be on goaltending. I think they're going to need two of them. They definitely are going to have to at least re-sign Campbell. If not, you know, re-sign one guy and keep Mrazek, which I don't think is a part of the plan, but it might have to be if they don't have other options. So if the Leafs, loudest team, loudest fan base, loudest media, is yelling and screaming about goaltending, and you have a free agent goalie, probably not wise to say he's not willing to listen.
Well, also, too,
like, he has to listen. Doesn't mean he's willing to actually come.
100%. And if you're Fleury, you have to take a look around the league and say, who are the possible contenders? Because by all reports, the Leafs are going to be contenders again. You look at the Stanley Cup odds for who's going to come out of the East next year. The Leafs are high up there. And who needs a goaltender out of the contenders? Well, the Maple Leafs do. And it's the biggest glaring issue. So why wouldn't you listen? And why wouldn't you start a little bit of hype about that if you're the agent or people in his circles? And if you look around at the goaltending market, too, who else can handle the market here?
Well, I'm going to take all my chips, my Marc-Andre Fleury chips, and put them on Pittsburgh.
You think he wants to return to Pittsburgh?
I think he goes to Pittsburgh. I think he doesn't.
You're all in, Gord?
Doesn't need the money. Doesn't need the money. I think he'd like to wrap it up in Pittsburgh. He doesn't have to play all.
That's an interesting thought. Like, Tristan Jarry's their guy now.
That's fine. He doesn't need to be the guy at this age.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd like to finish up in Pittsburgh.
Do you think he can? Like, I think he still can be the guy, though.
If you need him.
Yeah.
Sure. If you need him to be, yeah, absolutely. And he's certainly capable. He won the Vezina 2 years ago. I mean, or whatever he was.
Yeah.
Before last.
Yeah.
I think he misses Pittsburgh. I think it's a situation where he's not chasing a championship he's won before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
That makes a lot of sense because he did not go out on like sour terms.
No, he left Pittsburgh.
It was very emotional.
He put himself out there to leave, effectively, is my understanding.
To get them out of a jam.
Right.
To get them out of a jam.
And willing to accept Vegas in this new era, and obviously he took full advantage of that.
The homecoming was emotional when he came back. Like, there was, you could tell there was a lot of fanfare about it, and between him and everyone, right?
Every time he goes back.
Yeah.
It's been a while. He left in 2018, and even now, like, this past year, when he goes back, it's...
But you put in, like, 10-plus years in a market, which he did. First overall pick, Stanley Cup team...
Very likable, too.
Easiest guy to like.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. Obviously, Pittsburgh. That's an interesting thought, Gord. Like, that's a different mentality. Then that means he's admitting, I don't need to be the man. I'm not going to be the man necessarily. I don't want the money. Don't need the money. And it's more of a swan song signing as opposed to still having some sort of ambition to be the guy or a new challenge. You know, like, that's if you're the Leafs, you need someone that's coming up here willing to compete for the job, willing to win, and wanting something
grind too, and like be okay with getting a bunch of slot shots in a game because of the defensive warts that we see, right? Like, it's not necessarily the volume, but it's like it's big mistakes like that, and that was the case this season too.
You saw him play for Pittsburgh, right? Like, they weren't exactly the lock it down.
7-7 halves.
Yes. No, they were.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, true enough. But that's an interesting thought. But his name is going to be out there for the next couple of weeks, and the Leafs will be kicking tires on any big name that's available.
Would you ever want to see a situation if Fleury came here? Would you go Fleury and a young kid? Or do you want that kind of mentorship role? Or do you want him to have someone who can eat significant
games?
It's got to
be someone. The thing with that is it's got to be someone worthy of mentoring.
Right.
You know, it's got to be someone who you think he'll pass the baton to, and then that guy's your guy. And I don't see who that's going to be.
No one sticks out.
No one on the open market does. Like, if it's Ville Husso or something, but he's like 27, and he's going to want to get paid.
Here's the thing, though, guys. Let's look at, Vasilevsky won 2 Stanley Cups with Tampa. Okay, great. He's the best goalie in the league. I think we all agree he's the best goalie in the NHL. Okay, put him aside. Let's look at the last few Stanley Cup winning goalies. Darcy Kemper, Jordan Binnington, Braden Holtby, Matt Murray, Corey Crawford. Like, these aren't exactly Vezina Trophy caliber goalies. Now, over that same period of time, look at the defensemen who have won, right? Cale Makar, Victor Hedman, Alex Pietrangelo.
John Carlson. Yeah. Duncan Keith, Doughty, whoever it is.
Well, and also Chris Letang, who's in and out when they won the back-to-back cups. But that, to me, is that, like, I think we get too focused on goaltending sometimes. And to me, if you've got a Norris Trophy-caliber defenseman, I'll take my chances on the goalie.
Well, yes, I will agree with that in terms of There's only one Vasilevsky, there's one Shesterkin. Like, Ray phrased it, I think, really well last week, where he said, there's about 6 or 7 guys worthy of the money, worthy of the commitment. Beyond that, you're going to spend your money elsewhere, and you need 2 guys who are competent. You need 2 guys who you believe can give you league average. You can't have awful goaltending.
No.
And none of those guys you named were, right? None of the, like, Kemper's a good goalie.
He's been fine.
Good goalie, yeah. Holtby, a good goalie. Crawford, a good goalie. Like, these guys were good.
They had moments in their career where they were very good in that upper tier, not for a long period of time, but they had spurts up in there.
And their team could feel confident with them in.
But like, but Corey Crawford behind Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook,
well,
goes
Nick Jalmerson. Yeah, that's luxurious.
Right.
That goes a long way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
for sure.
Jalmerson in there, too. Like,
but still, I think you put him on an average defense, still a good goalie. Not all of a sudden the 25th best goalie in the league. Like, still a good goalie, and you still need that. But, and let's be honest, like Vasilevsky, Shesterkin, et cetera, they're not available. You're not getting them.
No.
So you're getting, if you're willing to pay, it's Fleury, it's Kemper, maybe Campbell.
But even, like, look at.
Trade for Gibson comes with a big price tag.
So right now, if the Florida Panthers could get rid of Sergei Bobrovsky's contract, they would. If they could leave
who's going to take that?
If they could leave him by the curb overnight, like you do with your old toaster, you know, and it's always gone the next day. If you could leave that by the curb and the next morning be gone, they would do it. But no one would take it. So
there's a guy in my neighborhood who would take it for sure.
You got to be careful with these free agent contracts, right? You got to be careful. Especially with goalie contract.
Especially at $10 million.
Look at Ottawa with Matt Murray. I mean, they might buy out Matt Murray.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, Matt Murray, that's been a disaster for Ottawa. It has. He hasn't played enough. They had to send him to the minors last year. It got so ugly.
My old team in Belleville. And the intention is they're going to come back with three goaltenders now.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean,
if
I don't know how that works.
And you don't, and you know, you don't want to buy them out, or you don't want to spend the money. You know, it is what it is.
I would just be, I mean, free agency, you got to be super, super careful anyway.
You might as well call it Happy Future Buyout Day. That's not like some of the contracts that are handed out on free agency, you can tell right away, like, that'll be bought out.
Well, look at Suter and Parise, which was the most celebrated two pack, maybe in free agent history.
Yeah.
And they both got bought out within an hour of each other.
Well, there was that year with Ladd and...
That was 2016. I actually saved it on my phone.
It was Oposo, it was Lucic,
Erickson. Oposo, Ladd, Erickson, Nielsen, Backes, Helm,
and
Brower.
Backes was the one I was thinking of.
Like, I mean,
none of them worked out.
Brink's truck. Everyone got the Brink's truck. Everyone got seven years and $6 million.
And they were all guaranteed, right? It was all signing bonus. You couldn't buy it out.
That's right.
Like, it was just...
Even at that age, though, even if you do get bought out, you're like two-thirds, right? And then you're like, I'm just going to get made whole once I sign somewhere else. I'm still going to make up that money because with the agents and the GMs, when that negotiation goes on, the agent's going to be like, listen, let's do this in a cordial way. Listen, my guy needs $3 million to be made whole on his contract. Let's find a way to make that work. And that's what happens.
And for GMs... 7 years from now, that's somebody else's problem.
Generally speaking. Which is an awful attitude
But it is true.
But generally speaking.
The shelf life is short.
If you want the player, if you think you need the player, if you're that desperate. Mm. Now, for me, free agency is for teams that are on the cusp. If you're close and you need that piece, then you go sign the free agent. If you're a bad team, if you miss the playoffs, free agency is never the answer.
I would even say, too, though, like, if you're looking for the big fish a lot of times, you're looking for complementary pieces to add to your, if you have a generational player, like a Matthews or a McDavid, right? You're just looking for the nice, fill out your roster.
Edmonton.
Right.
Edmonton, I think, you know, Zach Hyman was a great fit.
Yes, he was. And that's an expensive fit. And a guy that likely at the end of the deal will not be worth the money that he's getting paid. Unless the cap goes up exponentially. And I love Zach Hyman. I love him. Yeah. I think he deserved that. I think he was worthy of it because of the way he played, and it was the open market. But 7 years at 5.5, I believe it was, there's a chance that's going to stay.
And there's an injury history.
You run that risk.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Like, it's, you know, all the talk about Zion Williamson signing that big contract with New Orleans, but it's insured.
It's a formality.
It's insured.
Yes.
So if he gets hurt, the insurance company covers it. It's not a dollars issue.
It's more of a cap issue.
That's the NBA in a nutshell, is that a lot of it's based on brand. A lot of it's based on potential. It's based on the player having so much leverage over the team.
Yeah.
Like, he has barely played. He literally didn't play last year. And it was just a formality. Everyone knew they were going to offer him the Supermax, and he was going to get it. Leo Routens will join us in 10 minutes. Yeah. I have been thinking about this Kevin Durant stuff. I've been waiting to get to it. We'll get to it. The Jays dropping the final three games of their series. I was at the game on Saturday. I'll tell you a couple of different things that I saw. Frankie Corrado's in here. Gord Miller's in here. Leo in about 10 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we got Frankie Corrado, Gordon Miller in here. Our buddy Leo Rowlands will join us in about 5 minutes. The Jays are on the West Coast. They're in Oakland tonight. Manoah's on the mound. Series started great. You know, they win big Thursday, win big Friday. They lose. They got smoked in both doubleheaders, or both of the doubleheader on Saturday, and then yesterday got away from them quickly. Not a good scene for the Jays in terms of where their rotation is at. And I was at the game on Saturday when Gausman took the comebacker off the ankle. And Marino made an unbelievable play because it was a weird reaction. Like, when he got hit, there was an audible gasp.
Right.
And then Marino makes, like, a world-class play, and everyone's like, like, I guess we'll start clapping now.
But how's because, the pitcher?
Yeah, exactly. And then you're like, I think Gausman's in real trouble here. Yeah. And McClanahan, that dude can pitch, man. Like, yeah. He is so good. Like, Bichette smacks one to right. Double to start his day. Vladdy brings him in. I'm thinking, here we go. Like, they're going to get to him. There's going to be hits. There's going to be some action. And basically beyond that, there was nothing. But one thing I noticed just anecdotally walking around the park, because I had my kids there for the first time. So we were watching live at-bats about 20% of the time. Beyond that, it's you're walking around looking for things to do. Every Jay shot, because I got them scattered all over the park, right? There must be 50,000 Ryu t-shirts that are available at that park.
What's the sale on that?
I never looked at the price tag, but they honestly should say like $1.99, like, with all due respect to him. And I'm walking around, I'm thinking, this is an example of the economics of sport where COVID hit everyone.
Sure.
Everyone. But they literally never got to sell him. They signed him. COVID hits.
Yeah.
He spends his first year in Buffalo/Dunedin, his second year in Buffalo/Dunedin.
Yeah.
Did he start like a game or two at the Dome last September? And then by then he was done too, right? Like, his season was pretty awful last year. He was sputtering coming down the stretch. This year it was all about Barrios and Manoah and Gausman. And now he blows his arm out and he's probably never going to pitch again for the team.
Yeah.
And they invested $80 million. They clearly were prepared to sell him like crazy.
Yeah.
And it just never got picked up because of COVID and because of where he is now.
Well, and now it could get a little ugly for the Jays, because you talked about Ryu, but you also thought you were going to have Nate Pearson at some point this year.
Not looking
and,
good.
And be a pretty big part of your rotation. And now, Gausman, he might not even miss a start, but it's scary. It's scary to see that. And the bullpen, man. The bullpen is... I'm a little worried about the bullpen.
That's not a World Series winning bullpen.
No.
Like, clear cut. You cannot win a World Series the way that they're currently pitching.
Third worst ERA in the AL.
But
right.
They thought they'd fix it. They thought last year they'd clean it up, right?
They did with Simber coming in. You know, Phelps has been pretty good. They spent on Garcia, and when he's been healthy, he's been fine, and he's rehabbing. He'll be back at some point. But it's too much Trent Thornton.
Yeah,
Romano's putting himself in jams almost every time he's out
there.
Like,
he's getting out on the road. Hey, like,
yes, on the road. His splits on the road are like catastrophic when you actually break them down. So it's just not a World Series winning bullpen. It's not. They're in a wild card spot. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
But as of now, like, in terms of the confidence meter, Manoah is a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
He's on the mound tonight, and this Oakland team's awful. And if he's pitching and it's a pitcher's park, there's no reason why he can't go deep tonight and perform. But beyond that, Gausman now again, a little banged up, but he's been good.
Stripling's been okay.
Yeah, he's been good for who he is, relatively speaking.
Yeah, you can't expect him to come in and be an ace. He's going to give you what he's going to give you. Can he get you four and two thirds or five innings?
There
and,
you go.
And, like,
keep it
what
within
more
a couple
can you
runs.
Expect?
Exactly. Is keep this, your ERA around, you know, whatever it is right now, mid threes. You can live with that.
I want him to go from chicken strip to strip loin. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Make that jump. Right?
He needs to make that jump. If he makes that jump, then the Jays are in business.
I just looked this up. Is it possible that Ryu's only made 13 starts in Toronto?
Yeah, I would. I'm
that's what it says.
Like, surprised it's that high.
At the Dome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty possible.
So that means he must have got in, what, did he get four last September, five last September? And then, you know, how many ever, whatever he got this year, where clearly he was pitching a lot at home.
So underwhelming.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Underwhelming.
13 home starts for $80 million. And now, again,
in
Tommy
in
John.
Toronto, but,
yeah.
But that's where you yes,
and that'll be it for him. He's not going to play.
I don't think
game
he
here.
Pitches again for the Jays.
No,
the nature of that surgery and that injury, I don't think he pitches again. And it just stood out to me. Every single Jay shop, Ryu T-shirts, Ryu hats, and it's like no one's buying those. And why would you buy them?
No.
Why would you buy them? The guy literally isn't going to pitch for you.
If I'm going there, I'm getting a Manoah, 100%. I have a Tulowitzki at home. I can't wait to get rid of it. Yeah, I need Manoah.
Manoahs are
Frankie,
everywhere. They're
if you
all
leave,
over the park.
If you leave that. On the curb.
Someone
house.
Will grab that.
Someone, vintage. Someone will take your...
Tulo's a respected
okay, piece. Yeah, he was. You know why I had Tulo? Because he had the most term on his contract at the time. And I'm like, this guy's going to be... Like, I was playing the odds there.
I always love seeing, like, when I go to do a Leaf game, there's a guy that goes a lot, season ticket holder, has a Brian Leetch Leaf sweater.
Wow.
Like Leetch was a Leaf for what, 2 months?
Yeah, it was deadline through the... I don't think they went around with him. So I think they lost in the first round.
So he's got the Brian Leetch.
Legendary player, though.
You remember that, though. In the 90s and early 2000s, there was a big deal. It was Ron Francis came up here. Yeah. Dougie Gilmore came back.
Housley came.
Yes, Housley came. Yeah. Exactly. Owen Nolan came, but with terms. So Nolan was a big one, but he stuck around. But you're right. We're always like a big name guy, and they'd sell like hotcakes.
Yeah.
And then the guy would barely play, and he'd just disappear. And that was effectively it. That will not be the case for Kevin Durant if he were to be acquired in Toronto, because he's got 4 years left on his term. And this deal, until it happens, this is going to be the only thing talked about in the NBA. And that's saying something, because there's so much else going on in the NBA.
But
Kyrie Irving, obviously, out there. Russell Westbrook, if he's going the other way. You know, there's still some free agents of substance out there, and there's going to be other trades. There's going to be other rumors.
Yeah.
But as of now, Kevin Durant, he still wants out of Brooklyn. As of now, it feels like it's going to happen, and likely before the beginning of the season. And as of now, it feels as if the Raptors are one of the three or four teams that are closest to this, you know, connected deal and this projected deal. In a chat about that, we're joined now by our TSN Raptors and NBA analyst here is Leo Routens. Leo, I'm sure you're like, myself, I've been thinking about, you know, the workings of this deal, what it would look like, what it would feel like, how Masai might approach it. How often are you being asked about it, though? I'm sure when you're walking around, how many people on Twitter or social media are asking you, Leo, what it's going to take and what it would look like if Kevin Durant were a Raptor?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what everybody's talking about right now. And again, there's probably, I don't know, looking at maybe five on the outside, 16 of it might make sense, and actually, it might involve for some of these teams a multiple team deal to make it happen. So this is not an easy one, and it really is going to come down to the ask of Sean Marks, I mean, the GM of the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, you look at the Rudy Gobert deal, look at the ask on that, and now you're talking about Kevin Durant, who's, you know, an elite player. Granted, he's had injuries. Granted, he's getting older, but still an elite player, a big time scorer. So the ask is huge, and when you look at Masai, the one thing he's always done, and Bobby Webster, is they don't compromise the long-term, flexibility, viability of their team, and they always keep that big picture in mind. So when they did the Kawhi deal, you know, people were, hey, wait a minute, you traded DeMar DeRozan? Okay, yeah, you moved an all-star for an all-star, yet at the same time, the additional pieces, they work both ways. They were actually exceptional for Toronto. So they're very good at looking at the entire picture, and I don't think they're willing to compromise anything going forward because, you know, here's the one thing I've been saying for a while. The Raptors are close. Even without this deal, the Raptors are close. When you look at all the teams, and I'm saying that because I don't think there are a lot of great teams. There's good teams. There's a lot of good teams. State was a good team this year. They were not a great team. And so the Raptors, when you look at the whole picture, they're very, very close. So when you're in that category, I don't think you want to do anything that's going to put you at risk. You know, obviously it won't be a huge risk this year, but going forward it could be big. So there's a lot of factors in play here.
Well, as you said, I mean, there's two parties involved, multiple parties involved, because a lot of different teams would be calling. But Sean Marks, a GM down in Brooklyn, there's one thing to ask for what you want. It's another thing to actually get what you want. And I would have to believe that a Raptors package going the other way, it will either revolve around Siakam plus or Scotty Barnes plus? Is that the way you see it, Leo, or is there any way that Masai and Bobby could pull off a deal that somehow doesn't involve those two pieces?
I think ideally you prefer not to involve those two people. Whether you can pull it off that way, you know, that would remain to be seen. You got to remember, too, if you're Kevin Durant, you've got to ask the question, like, who am I playing with? You know, who are you going to be on the floor with? I would like to be playing with Scotty Barnes and Pascal Siakam. So if you look at the pieces you mentioned, you know, OG Anunoby, to me, is a viable piece. You know, we're talking about him on draft day, that he's a viable piece to move. To help your franchise get better. As good as he is, he's a solid two-way player. He's gotten better throughout his career. He's also missed a significant amount of games. And you don't, and that's kind of been his MO. You don't know if that's going to continue. So you don't know if you're going to get a, you don't know if you have a guy that's going to play 50, 60, 70% of his games. You don't know. So he's a piece that, you know, and people are attracted to him because he's a two-way player and he has shown improvement in his game. So who else are you going to throw in there? There's talk about Gary Trent Jr., who's really shined and I think surprised a lot of people, showed his value as a scorer. You have, and remember, you got to replace scoring when you're looking at a guy like when you're moving to Kevin Durant. So you have somebody that can put the ball in the basket. You know, talk of a big throw-in like a Ken Burch. But if you're going to give up, Scotty Barnes or Pascal Siakam, I think you really, really got to look at the deal. And there's got to be, again, you're talking about a lot of floating pieces in this thing to make the deal work. And what else are you going to get back? What else are you going to have to add in with those pieces in terms of picks? So that's a tough one. I don't know if I'm willing to go that way just on the fact that, you know, Kevin Durant has gotten bored, right? He's gotten bored. He likes to change the scenery. He's also 34 years old and has had significant injuries. I think you've got to look at that. As great a player as he is, as wonderful a talent as he is, you have to weigh those things in when you're making this decision.
Leo, it's Gord. If you had to put your chips somewhere, where do you think he winds up?
You know, there's a lot of talk of trying to do something in L.A. And, you know, I think L.A. is desperate right now to make something happen. And money never seems to be a huge issue. And they have a player, Anthony Davis, who I think when you look at Brooklyn – and what he could bring to the table, he could fit in very, very well with the pieces they're going to have there. So, and you also wonder what's going to happen with Kyrie, right? I mean, is Kyrie going to be moving on? So you don't know the whole thing, but if I'm looking at a team just offhand, I'd say the teams that jump out at me would be L.A., and depending on what happens with the different parts in Phoenix might be a player too.
Leo, for the longest time, the narrative's been with Durant. It's like he wants to be the guy, doesn't want to be in the shadows. Do you envision a situation where he goes somewhere and he's okay with being, you know, like a 1A, 1B, or does he need to be, you know, the big dog wherever he goes here?
I think he is the big dog. I mean, at this stage in his career, he still is the big dog, but here's what I really like about his game. When he was at Golden State, And everybody's trying to figure out, hey, how is Curry, Thompson, Durant, you know, how are they going to work together? And he said something that I thought was really, really special, and not a lot of people caught it. He says, hey, you guys worry about yourself. I know how to play this game. Don't worry about me. I'll figure it out. And he's the type of player that can play with other guys. Hey, he played with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is not easy to play with. He's played in a lot of environments. He's played with Westbrook and Harden early in his career. He's the guy that knows how to get his. And even though he's the top dog, he's the guy that I think is easy to play with. When you talk about players that are these marquee guys, of all of them, he may be the easiest to play with just because he understands the game and plays the game in a very fluid and, I think, the right way. So, you know, that I don't think that's an issue as far as him blending or being able to figure out his style with other people.
Chatting with Leo Routens. Masai and Bobby Webster, they got to work quickly. They re-signed Chris Boucher. They re-signed Thaddeus Young. And then they go up there and give Otto Porter a couple of years, who is a really quality depth piece for Golden State. If this Durant deal ends up going somewhere else and they come back with effectively the same core, certainly the same starting five, and a lot of the depth pieces, and you add in a guy like Otto Porter, how does it elevate the status of this group going into next season? Would you expect a similar run where they finish, you know, fourth or fifth in the East, or will there be improvement just based on internal growth?
There's going to be improvement without doubt based on internal growth. I think Otto Porter is a nice piece. He really is. Thaddeus Young will be able to start fresh from the beginning of the season, which will be important. And I think when you look at the big picture for the Raptors, I mean, look at Scottie Barnes. He's not even scratching the surface yet, right? Pascal Siakam came into his own in a big way. And we talked about OG and what he's doing. You know, Gary Trent Jr., I don't think a lot of people expected him to play the way he played. Cam Birch was hurt most of the season and really never played to his potential. So there's a lot of growth within this roster that I think could really come into fruition this season. But I don't think Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster are just going to pack it in if this doesn't work, right? I still think you need size. You've got Koloko, which is going to be an asset, a good young big. But I think you've got to have maybe a little bit more size. I think you need shooting, right? And one of the conversations with this whole Durant thing is Joe Harris, who was out this season and hurt. A guy like Joe Harris, you know, he offers a lot. If you can get a guy like that, if that's a throw-in, that makes a big difference. Remember, with the Kawhi Leonard deal, the throw-in was Danny Green.
Right.
And that sure made a difference for winning a championship. I mean, he was a key player all season long. Even when a guy like that's not making shots, you've got to respect him and stay with him, which means somebody else is getting shots. So, you know, I don't think Masai and Bobby are done. I think they're going to continue to try to tweak this team. And like I said, I'd like to see Fred get some help in the backcourt so he doesn't have to wear down during the course of the season like he did this past season. So there's still going to be a lot of things happening. And I mean, it's early, and, you know, phone calls are always going to be made. And you know, as we know, Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster don't share a lot of what they're thinking or what they're planning on doing. They just get it done.
Always great catching up with you, Leo. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Sounds great. Have a good one, guys.
Leo Routens, TSN NBA Raptors analyst.
There we go.
There you go.
I didn't turn it off. How come it wasn't on? I don't know what happened. I didn't. Reading between the lines there, he doesn't want to trade Scottie Barnes.
Well, why would you?
Even to get Kevin Durant, because he's right. What we saw from Scottie Barnes this year is just the start.
I think it's a non-starter if you're the Raptor. Like, I understand Durant is one of the marquee guys in the league. He's the guy who can get you to a championship, but what if Scottie Barnes in the sophomore year just takes a gigantic leap? Like, why can't he put himself in that conversation over the next 3-4 years?
What if in 4 years he's a superstar?
Like, right.
What if he's...
I'm with you. I mean, the more I've been... This broke on Thursday, right before we came on the air, and my head was spinning. I'm like, okay, where is this going? Kevin Durant is going to be available. And you knew the Raptors, just based on following the team, you're aware of what they have to give up. Like, it's been well reported throughout the NBA that the Raptors can put together a package that can probably match almost any other package in the league. Outside of, like, a superstar today, right? This idea that, you know, if it's whoever it might be, it's not Anthony Davis straight for Kevin Durant. But Davis, if he's playing, is still capable of being a top 5 or 7 player in the league. The Raptors cannot say that.
Yeah.
Siakam is at no point a top 5 or 7 guy.
No.
Scottie Barnes is not there right now, and he won't be next year. You got to let him grow. He's
right.
Not going to get there right away.
Yeah.
So you can't match like 1-for-1 or close to it. But the way you can match it or exceed it is based on the amount of options that the Raptors have. When you talk about Siakam and Van Vliet and Trent and Anunoby and Barnes, but what gets difficult there is then you're giving up multiple guys.
Yeah.
And I don't think Masai Ujiri will be comfortable with that. Like I think he's going to allow the market to develop and possibly fizzle out and then strike. Like, I think he'd clearly be comfortable with something if it's Anunoby, Trent, Hicks.
What if it's Siakam and OG and picks? Like, would you entertain that?
What was the Gobert deal? It was like the equivalent of 5 first-round picks.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like the
and that's
first rounder this year, it's a massive haul. It's a massive haul. And that, I think a lot of people connected it and said, well, that changes things. It might, but Gobert is younger. Like, Kevin Durant still got the profile, but Durant will be going, he'll be 34 before the season tips off. He is coming off extensive injuries.
Yeah.
It's a different scenario. But there's another angle to this that I'm sure Masai Ujiri is thinking of. And it's one that I was thinking about over the course of the weekend. It doesn't change what you're willing to pay necessarily. Like, if you really want Durant, then you're going to pay whatever it's going to take to get him. But I think it would be, if you're Brooklyn, it's either Barnes in pieces or Siakam in pieces. And I don't know how comfortable the Raptors would be with that today. Because if they were, the deal might have already been done or close to it. Again, I think they'll wait to see if the market fizzles out a bit and then come back at it with a bit of a different price that is actually more Raptors friendly. But the Raptors have had a history, and it's a warranted history, and it's a reputation of never being able to sign a big free agent.
Right.
Now, this will not technically be signing a big free agent. But with the way the NBA works, if Durant is willing to come and willing to stay, it's effectively the equivalent.
Or conversely, if he's not willing to come, then it's the same thing.
Then it's still the same thing, not coming. It's the equivalent. And that is a big divide here.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of the reputation, and that, I think, is the one thing. Like, Masai, outside of winning another championship, which would be his highest priority, but he has been a culture changer. He's been a culture disruptor, Masai, ever since he got here. And it was F Brooklyn, drop the mic. It's we're going to do it. We're going to win. We're going to get Kawhi. I don't care if he doesn't want to come up here. He's coming up here, and we're going to win with him. And the one thing even Masai has not been able to do is sign one of those big guys and bring him up here.
NBA players love coming here, but they don't necessarily want to live here.
But and that's what I'm saying. Like, if Durant were to give the thumbs up and say, yes, I'm coming up, yes, I want to be there, yes, I'll spend 4 years. To me, that's the equivalent of a guy signing here. And that would be so meaningful, I think, for Ujiri, his legacy, and what the Raptors represent.
The difference that I see between Kawhi and Durant in this situation is going to be, I don't want to say the professionalism, but for Kawhi, it was, can he stay healthy? Can the knee hold up? You do the whole load management thing. I think that was the biggest hurdle at the end of the day. With Durant, it's like, you went to OKC. The reporters had to apologize to you because they wrote an article you didn't like or a headline you didn't like. You didn't want to play with Westbrook anymore. You went to Golden State. There was a soap opera there by the time you were leaving. And then, you know, we know what happened with Brooklyn. So are you inheriting a little bit of a little bit of baggage with him that's not necessarily controllable by load management? It's a mental baggage that you're going to inherit
you
with
you
him.
You are. But, in that sport, more than any other, superstars make the difference.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
More than baseball, football, hockey, in that sport, superstars, as problematic as they might be, as temperamental as they might be, make the difference.
Well, and I don't think Durant is like a bad guy.
No,
he is polarizing for being who he is because
there's the
Twitter
social
stuff. Media.
Yeah,
because
like,
he's only won when he joined Steph and Clay and Draymond. He couldn't do it on his own. And if he came up here,
he'd be the guy.
Like,
you're not going LeBron. Like, you're not playing with LeBron. You're not playing with Kawhi.
You're not even bringing Kyrie up.
Had it made in Oklahoma City. Like, he could have been there forever. They could have won championships. You know, like, it feels like at some point there's an expiration date where it implodes.
And that's
it's doing that
That's
now.
The concern, is if you give up Scottie Barnes, tons of picks, pick swaps, and then in a year or two this guy goes, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out.
Then you're in big trouble. Yeah. And, like, that's the gamble. Like, and also, because of his age, I think you're talking about a two-year window. Like, the 4 years, I don't know what he is 3 or 4 years from now.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
Like, the next
that's
two, fair. If he's playing, I think he's a superstar.
Again,
I know he is.
We're talking about hockey? That's someone else's problem.
It is. It definitely is. And, hey, it'd be a hell of a ride just as a Toronto sports fan. If you had Kevin Durant playing up here, the reaction would be, it'd be Tavares plus.
Oh, yeah.
It would
because
of how significant his name value is, his brand, superstardom in the NBA. Rick Bonus has got a new gig. He's back in Winnipeg where it all started for him as a coach. Your former coach.
My old coach, man.
Back in
Great
Vancouver.
Guy.
So yeah. Rick Bonus will join us in about 15 minutes. The Jays again back in action tonight, so we'll keep teeing that series up in Oakland. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we got Frankie Corrado, Gord Miller in here. Rick Bonus will join us in the Winnipeg Jets in about 15 minutes. Steve Phillips coming up as well with the Jays on the West Coast. They're in Oakland, then they're in Seattle for four, starting on Thursday. And last three games, again, didn't go so well. But it was great to get down to the park. I was down there on Saturday. There's, you know, the real world is back, man, downtown Toronto.
It's unreal, isn't it?
Did you get a bobblehead?
What's
the situation there?
Not even close. And I can't tell you how many middle-aged men I saw walking around giddy with a Vlade Guerrero bobblehead. And there's my two kids walking around just saying, why is that man so happy that he's got a toy?
I saw a tweet at, I think it was 10 a.m., 9:30 a.m., something like that. And it said that the line was already
very
long.
By all accounts, it was. And that wasn't. There was no. I wouldn't line up early for pretty much anything. Definitely not a bobblehead.
Yeah, so I spent Saturday in the traffic around that because my daughter was leaving to go to Rome.
Right.
And she wanted to track her bag. She was worried about her luggage being lost because that's been a big thing. So she got this Apple keychain for an AirTag. It doesn't come with an AirTag.
No, I don't even know what an AirTag is.
It's a thing. It's a tracking device. You put.
Oh yeah, I'm the young guy here. How do I not know?
Where are you at with this?
I had to go to Sherway. I had to go to Sherway Gardens on a Saturday afternoon on a weekend to the Apple Store.
Yeah,
to find the one AirTag apparently was left in the GTA.
Well, yeah. See, that's what the news could do to you, because you would think honestly, Pearson. It's just a dumpster fire.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's always been bad.
But it's got to be like next level bad.
But
now.
They're doing stories now like someone still doesn't have their bag. Yes, we know luggage gets lost. Like it always happens.
It happens to Ray Ferraro twice a year.
All the time. Man. Like I feel for those people. Yeah, I've been on the wrong side of that. Yeah. But literally, that did not stop, like start after COVID. No. Baggage is being
and
lost.
And lineups of security?
That's always been an issue.
Yeah.
It's always been time consuming.
Yes.
I had a moment, though, where I realized, okay, I'm officially out of COVID here in terms of, like, interacting with people and what I'm doing, and I need to get my act together. Okay, I'll tell you guys about that in the next hour. A lot of hockey news, a lot of NBA news. Jay's back in action tonight. Hour 2 coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.